Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sam's friend.
It's what?
It's your friend.
It's one of my friends, yes.
Yeah. The stink bug.
The stink bug. I don't like those things. But wait, he was crawling on my computer, and I did not smash him. I took him outside and let him go.
I thought you would smash him.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just touch him.
I mean, I am truly a loving individual. I'm not quite as loving with big spiders.
Or snakes.
Oh, I love snakes.
And I have been known to jump straight up and then fall upon snakes and dance until they don't move anymore. Now, I think my greatest snake story was in Kentucky when I saw that big old 5 foot long black snake, and I'm in the garden all by myself. There's a whole acre of tomato plants, and I'm right in the middle of it picking tomatoes, and I'm going to town, man. I'm going to fill the wagon as fast as I can that day, and I look up, and here's this black snake looking over top of the tomato plant at me. He's about 3 feet away from my head, and he's just looking at me, and I don't know which of us moved faster, me or the snake. But I know the sound I make made all snakes go back to the den because I was not only moving like Roadrunner, but I was a squealing. I was squealing too. I was like, whoa! And I said to Mr. Higgins, who was the gardener, he was our principal, but he was also the gardener. I'm like, you know, I got in the tractor and I drove up, took all my tomatoes up because I was really nervous. All right. And I'm like, you know, what was that snake? And he's like, well, you know, tell me what it looked like. So I told him and he's like, oh, that's just a black snake. I'm like, oh. He was 5 feet long. He goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, he said,
that's a garden snake.
He said, down here in Kentucky, we all want those underneath our houses because they eat the rats, the mice,
the possums,
and they eat the bad snakes.
Oh.
So he was 5 feet long, so obviously he'd eaten a lot of snakes. He was huge, and he was about, I think he was about that big around. Okay, that might be a slight exaggeration, but you know how it is when you see a snake and they scare you? It's a python.
I grew up at my grandpa's house, and which is on my dad's side, my father's father, and he would teach me how to go around his house and catch snakes, just for fun.
Where did he live?
Out in the country.
In Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Bad snakes?
Rattlers. Rattlesnakes. Yeah.
Timber rattlers?
I don't know what kind of rattlers.
No, not here in Jackson.
Yeah, no, not in Jackson. Chris's house.
That is Jackson.
We had them up in West Branch. We had timber rattlers.
Wow, they're loud when they rattle.
That would freak me right out.
I saw one on the road one time, but I didn't hear his rattle because I was screaming really loud.
When you're in the south, you see them all over the road.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you can tell, but we're having a really good time tonight in this Bible study. So, as we always do, we honor our troops, and we're going to do that now tonight. So, let me get all my apps working here like they're supposed to. We'll
one
rise.
Bit of information.
What's that?
One bit of information for you.
All right.
In Dothan, Alabama, when I was down there, they actually had scorpions down there.
In Alabama?
Yep, Dothan, Alabama.
Wow.
They were black. They're not as poisonous as the white ones.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those things scare me.
Yeah, me and those kind of beings, we just are continually parting ways.
They look a little bit, they make me think of lobsters. I love lobster, but I don't like the sort.
I was taking a shower, and all of a sudden, my head fell with scorpion. And I went, what scorpion? And the bathroom that I was in only had a little light above the mirror. So I got out of the bathroom and stuff, and then I went to the sink and was in turn of water, and there was a huge scorpion in the sink.
Oh, no kidding.
And he warned me.
Yeah.
I was just a scorpion. It's a scorpion coming in my head. For there was one in my sink.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh.
But thank you, Lord, for, hey, James Denny Jr. is with us. Brother James, tonight we're talking about snowstorms and calming the tornadoes. And salvation and snakes and scorpions. It's been a wonderful conversation. Besides that, Brother James, what did you have for supper? All right, as you can see, we've got our screen up today, and this is for saying the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'll rise with us, we will make our Pledge of Allegiance and get ourselves started this evening.
Your camera's on.
Everybody pause. I realize I must fulfill another part of my duties here. There we go. Here we go. Everybody ready? Brenda, you're on them? Let's make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have paid the last full measure of ocean, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, in their body. Moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen that will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now join with me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, amen. God bless America.
I always got to add my voice in somewhere.
And now we will begin and pray our opening prayer like we do every time we come together in Jesus' mighty name. You'll see it on your screen. Not sure how long the leg is tonight, but welcome, welcome, welcome. We all put this up because we like everyone to be able to say the prayer with us. I don't know if you've ever noticed. In the kingdom, there's no me too. Everybody has to make their own statement of faith. You can't ride in on somebody else's shirt tail. You don't get in on anybody else's faith. It's your life between you and God. So I encourage you, say this boldly with us tonight. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, you and I see every time we come here the commanded blessing of unity. We stand together in unity, and look what happens. We have the blessing of God.
Amen.
Our prayers work, our faith works, and we see God do mighty works in our personal lives, our family lives, our businesses, in the church, in the community of faith, all around the world.
Yes.
How amazing is that? Here we go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. And now, Ephesians chapter 4, the chapter of the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the fivefold ministry working together to get the mission accomplished on this earth.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're included?
Amen. Yes.
Say this with me. I am included.
In the body of
Christ,
in
Jesus' mighty
name.
Here we go. Verse 1. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. I'll pause. Got to let the next screen catch up so that in the house here, we can all be on the same page. All right? Don't worry. It's just a lag. I'm in verse 5.
One Lord,
one
faith,
one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift.
I'd say it's about 15 seconds behind.
50 seconds?
No, 15.
15? That's not too bad. That's usually pretty good. Here we go. And now, Father, we speak this over the body of Christ all over the United States of America right now, over every church, every ministry, every Bible study, every person who is giving themselves to the work of God at this moment. We bless them. We add our faith to the international network of prayer and faith. And we receive faith from that same group of people as we stand together in agreement. Verse number 11. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Say it with me again. Fill me with all the fullness.
Fill me with all the fullness
of God.
Of God.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus'
mighty name. My goodness. You know, every time we say that, I experience it on the inside. It's not a feeling. It's not like a goosebump, but it is the experience that you know on the inside, God Almighty has just filled my life again. Don't you just love it?
Love it.
Verse 14, so that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And now we join our voices. I love this. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. May God bless America again today. Here's our founding declaration that makes us who we are. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then the Patriot Prayer of Dedication, where we add our faith to Abraham Lincoln's faith and to everybody that's believed ever since then. The Bible says their prayers are stored up in heaven in vials and are poured out upon this earth. And we add our prayers to them today. Pray with us. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from this earth. And then, inclusion, we've added this great anthem. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin,
Lord,
and heal our land.
We
seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen.
And amen.
Aren't you glad that God wants you and I to be a part of what he's doing on this earth?
Amen.
And what's interesting about our Father is he set Adam and Eve here in the garden and said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. And then in Genesis chapter 2, he said, I put you here to tend and keep the earth. He gave us a very specific assignment.
Yes.
And nowhere in the word of God has God ever rescinded that assignment.
Right.
Isn't that an amazing thing to see in Jesus' mighty name? In Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, Sunday. Sunday's either giving glory to God or she's got something to say.
I love the word.
Love the word. Hallelujah. Oops. Maybe I put my hand up. Hallelujah. Now, thank you for everyone for your faith and your prayers with us throughout this last month as we've been here. We are, now she's got two hands up. That's the first time I ever saw anybody have two hands up. That's just amazing.
She's praising the Lord.
Come on, glory be to God. Amen. Amen. How did you do that? See how it is? Everybody's like, oh, in the world you're doing it. But thank you for all your faith, your prayers that's been with us throughout this last month. It's been a very interesting month. And just seeking God every day, saying, Lord, help us accomplish everything we're supposed to be getting accomplished today. And, you know, as we continually move forward throughout from this time till Jesus comes, as we continually move forward, you and I are going to see God do things with us that we had no idea he was going to do. But you and I just wake up every day and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's not just something we say. That is a prayer that Jesus was teaching us to pray and live every single day of our life. And, last night, two nights ago, we were studying, we did the study with Sephardi, Mr. Sephardi. And man, the man can just lay it out. But what I love about Jewish people is they have more by nature than most of us have by study.
Right.
And you and I are, it's very important that we receive from a person like that and then take it and then begin to implement it into our life. We do not have to be afraid in the end times. We do not have to be weak. We don't have to run and hide. If you want to get some food up in case they mess up our supply chain somewhere, that's all right if you want to do it. But God said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. He said, darkness might cover the earth, but arise and shine because your light has come.
Yeah.
And the glory of the Lord is on you. The Gentiles are going to see your brightness and they're going to be drawn to you. They're not going to be drawn to religion. They're not going to be drawn to a denomination. They're not going to be drawn to a church building. They're going to be drawn to the places that have the light of God and the joy of the Lord burning on the inside of their lives. Now, YouTube is live. Blog Talk Radio is live. Facebook Live is live. Zoom is live. So the only thing that's not live tonight is TikTok. But Brother Michael's been asking me, and I'm going to get it done. I'm not sure what it is, but you know what I love? I love having a friend like him that knows how to do it. Because now I can go right to the core, and it's very simple. It's like anybody wants to be on Blog Talk Radio, I can teach them Blog Talk Radio. Because I've been on Blog Talk Radio I have over 2,000 Blog Talk Radio programs. That's amazing. Wait, let's just say it this way. That's God, because no man can do that in his own strength. And thank God for that process and being able to be a part of that and make it work in Jesus' mighty name. Now, here we go. I want you to grab your Bibles. This is going to be a good study. Let's go to the book of Genesis. And I got Brother Michael here, so he's going to be reading some scripture tonight. I dropped my Bible earlier, and I came to the realization that nobody should have this many papers in their Bible.
You really do have a lot of papers in your Bible. Papers, pictures.
But guess what? Guess what? I know that God still loves me, even though I have a loaded Bible, all right? Look, all they are is just bookmarks so that when we get studying, we have something to put in there and hold the page. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. And I want to encourage you in the fact that even though I dropped my Bible and many papers fell out, they all didn't. Genesis chapter 12, and tonight we're going to be studying the life of Abraham, because the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe, and Abraham is the isn't that interesting? Abraham is the first example we have in the Bible of somebody that believes. Well, let me say that a little differently from our study this year.
All right.
Don't you like it when you get revelation right on the camera in front of everybody? Like, whoops, I better not say that like that anymore. Abel and Adam and Eve were probably the first to believe. Abel believed because he gave the right offering.
Yeah.
Cain didn't believe. Cain didn't give the right offering, and Cain killed Abel. That's something that the first murder in the Bible was because somebody's offering was accepted and somebody's wasn't accepted.
I remember something in the Bible that it said he stole his name or something.
Just let it soak in. It's like, whoa, this is an interesting study tonight. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I think in the Bible, it said Cain stole his name or something.
He stole his name?
I can't remember this.
I don't know that verse, but
no, I can't.
I would really be glad to see where that verse is if you have it, because...
No, it's just something that's in my mind. It just came out of nowhere.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know the verse, so...
Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Well, let's make our confession first, like we do every time we come here. Why do we do this, Pastor? Because the Bible says that we can have the fruit of our lips. That's the book of Proverbs says that you can have the fruit of your lips. Here we go. Look, I like it. I got a fancy King James Bible. I got a personal Bible, New King James. Brother Michael's got eSword. I bet that eSword's been tore up since you got it, hasn't it?
I'm done reading next.
Here we go. Let's make this declaration together. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says.
Because he is the great I am.
The
Holy Spirit of God. My resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God. And plant him as a seed. In the good soil of my heart. Producing a hundredfold return. In my spirit, soul, and body.
In
Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen, and amen. Let's get this over here. Let's get you guys over here. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, Pastor, you got to convert my grandma to stop cursing.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, in the card today.
Here we go. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 8. Go ahead. Michael's going to read for us.
All right, I got news to you. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth bless thee. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south.
Okay. Now, this is the beginning of our understanding of Abram. I like how Michael said Abram, okay? It was interesting to me is how so many people pronounce so many different pronunciations of people's names. Mm-hmm. And I remember I used to think, wow, how could somebody pronounce that name wrong? And then I realized there's some great leaders in this country that don't know how to pronounce these names.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was a blessing to Brother Dan and I when we was in Bible college was they caused us to have a Bible, a King James version Thompson chain like this, mm-hmm. that had what do you call it over top of the words, the
strong,
you know, it had had so you could speak the word right out.
Pronunciation
yeah, yeah, it had it pronunciation above it so you could look at it and So I'm very skilled at saying the words right, and the rest of you need to get your stuff together. Wait, do you see how that does that? That is nothing but a spirit of pride.
We need to get rid of that.
Charlie K. Allen's with us. Hey, Charlie, good to see you, man. God bless you. Always good to see you, brother.
So, Abram is Abraham, right?
Well,
or is that his name later that God gave him?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because I was like, Abram, who is that?
Yeah. So at this point, he's just coming to God.
Yeah. So
now,
he's got on his special meeting.
Abram was actually a moon worshiper.
Oh.
But as God looks down from heaven, he sees inside of Abram the heart that wants God.
Yeah.
Even though he was out, he was a worshiper of the moon, he was probably a worshiper of the God who created the moon. Many missionaries tell the story of getting to remote villages and finding people that have never had the gospel preached to them. Mm-hmm. And when they go in, they're like, wow, these people are bear witness with my spirit that they actually know God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can that be except that they have been, and then begin to understand, they're worshiping the God that created the sun and the moon. So what is that? What's that do? That takes them past all this other stuff. The one guy worshiped the God that created his hands. And when the missionary met him, missionary said, this man knows God.
Yeah.
Why? Because he worshiped the God that gave him his hand, and he was like an amazing woodworker or something like that, you know, when they got to that village. And so we see Abram. But now I want you to get one of those valuable papers that we have in our Bible, and I want you to put it right there in Genesis 12. And hold your place there, and let's go to Hebrews chapter 11.
Hello, Dave Villiard.
Dave Villiard's with us. Brother Dave, you got snow again tonight, man? It looks like it's snowing or raining or something. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, everybody knows that this is the faith chapter of the Hall of Faith.
Say 11.
Hebrews 11, yeah. This is the chapter that talks about all the people, well, some of the people in the Bible that had faith. So we're going to go now to, let's go to Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. This is going to talk about Abraham. Go ahead. You can read it.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go out into a place which he should after receive from inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. For he looks for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky, and multitude as the sand which is by the seashore. Innumerable.
Okay,
I thought I had it wrong.
No, you got it. Now, what you just see is Genesis 12 is the beginning of Abraham's life. Hebrews 11 is God saying, you see what Abraham did there? And you see how Abraham lived? And Abraham is the father of our faith. Now, you know, a lot of people in our day say Brother Hagin's the father of faith, but Brother Hagin learned it from Father Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
I like calling him Father Abraham. Now, let's set up another part of this. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read chapter 3 and 26, and we're going to read down through chapter 4, verse 7. Galatians 3, 26, and then down through 4, 27. I want to lay out this foundation of the Word of God, and then we'll come back and teach a little bit on us. Sister Leanne is putting the verses in. Rebecca's helping. For all of you that help us with verses, thank you
very much.
We appreciate your help with these verses. Here we go. You going to read?
Yep.
All right. Brother Michael's reading. I might have to hire him as my official reader.
I can read a lot with him.
Alright, here we go.
For ye are all of the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that their heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But it is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in the bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of Jesus.
Two more verses, 6 and 7.
Yep. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Hallelujah. Now, let's take it apart. Abraham believed God, Genesis chapter 12. And it was counted to him for righteousness. We go to the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham believed God and he received the heir and he became the father of many nations. Sarah believed God, her dead womb come to life and she bore a child. Now we come back here to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. And it says that we are all sons of God, and if we are sons of God, we are heirs according to the promise, and we are the children, the seed, the heirs of Abraham.
Amen.
Now, I want you to see something, because you and I, pretty much in this day, we just automatically accept the doctrine of Abraham believed God has come to us righteous. We believe God and we're born again. We pretty much just accept that doctrine. But the reality about any doctrine in our life is the only way you're going to come to that understanding is through Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Now, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord.
But not through.
So here's, you're believing, right.
Yeah.
Here's Abraham out there worshiping the moon or whatever he's doing, and God showed up and said, hey, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. And by the way, pack up your stuff and move tomorrow. Well, what you and I just saw in as we read that is Abraham got up and went the next. What is faith? Faith is obedience. Mm-hmm. Faith is God speaks and we move. Think about what Jesus said. I can of myself do nothing, but what I see my Father do, that's what I'm going to do. And what I hear my Father say, that's what I'm going to say. Now watch this. Romans chapter 4. Now, it's important that you get another piece of paper and stick it in Galatians 3 because we're going to be back there again. Romans 4, verse 3. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Wait, I'm not in Romans 4:3. I'm reading in Galatians 4:3, and I like it. So everybody, hang on.
Romans is the Old Testament, right?
No, Romans is in the New Testament.
Oh.
Acts, Romans, and then Corinthians. Romans 4:3. Now, let's just read that. Let's read Romans 4:1-3.
Right. Abraham justified by faith. What shall we say then to Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
Wow. Now there's a slight difference there between the King James, that's what he's reading, and the New King James, which I'm reading. Watch this. In verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. What's that mean? That means if you go to work, you get paid. Right?
Right.
So if Abraham was made righteous by works, then there's he's not the father of our faith. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. All right? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, if we go back over here to Galatians chapter 3 that we just read, that's where you're supposed to put that marker.
You don't have new King James. Oh, you can buy new King James on
that. Oh, yeah, you do.
That's stupid.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Or no, verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of God. What does that mean? We believe God, and he makes us into the righteousness of God. Now, just follow me for a little bit, all right? Because you got to see this. That was verse 6. Let's just keep reading.
4-6. After 4-6.
Let's read 6-9.
Of Romans.
Galatians 3,
oh,
6-9.
Now we're in Galatians.
We'll be all right. Appreciate you reading.
I'm trying to find it.
Because what we got to establish here is you and I get to just simply believe God, and we receive, because that's what Abraham did.
Galatians 3, 4 to
1. 6 through 9.
3, 6 through 9?
Yep.
Okay.
Blue 42, go long.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through the faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Now, you and I just found ourselves in the New Testament in those three verses. Look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and that belief is counted to him for righteousness. Abraham circumcised his people long after this day. Abraham was blessed by God abundantly long before he started doing any works of the law. Abraham tithed before there was ever any instruction from the word of God to tithe. Abraham worshiped God and walked with him every day before anybody had a Bible, a book, a document to hand him to say, read this and then believe it. Abraham simply believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, let's keep looking at verse 7. Now, I'm in Galatians 3, 7. Everybody just keep moving with us here. We're going to establish this. All things are possible to him that believes. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Remember Thomas said, unless I see him, I won't believe. Remember what Jesus said? Blessed is he who even though, it's what you said at the beginning,
yeah.
Okay. Even though he does not see, yet he believes.
Yeah.
Now what, I mean, you think about, what do you and I actually see that would cause us to be redeemed, bought back from sin? A preacher standing up in the front of the church saying, come to the altar and receive Jesus. There's nothing to see there. There's something to believe there.
Yeah. The testimony in my life, I didn't fully believe in God until I saw that he was real by me being saved. Jesus, I didn't know that, I knew he was real, but I didn't fully believe in him. Because I've never seen any magical work or anything of that sort,
mm-hmm.
or a miracle or whatever. And until the day I got saved, my mind was like clear, and then I was like, wow, something happened.
Something just happened. And here's the thing. Here's what happened. God came in because you simply believed, and you received it.
Amen.
And It's why the educated have a hard time believing this, because there's not enough of the intellectual process going on for them, because I'm educated, don't you know? Well, that education is going to hurt you, because in God, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I see, and Jesus said, all right, well, I'll show you. And then he said, but Thomas, blessed are those who believe, even though they do not see. And that's what you and I did. Verse 8, I'm in Galatians 3:8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. What did they preach to Abraham?
Gospel.
What's the gospel? What's the definition?
The word of God.
The good news. Do you see that Jesus was in the Old Testament preaching to Abraham?
The good news also derives from the testimony of Jesus Christ.
From the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was there preaching to him. And Abraham, he preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Look at 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Some of you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I don't have the faith like you. You're comparing yourself to somebody else. I got a really important word for you. Stop it.
Look in the Bible yourself.
Don't compare yourself to anyone else. It's the most dangerous thing you can do. Because somebody else might study the Bible 5 hours a day because that's their level of diligence, and you might study it 1 hour a day, and the Father's going to bless both of you because you're walking with him doing what he gives you to do.
Amen.
And you and I got to just look at this thing and say, God, help me walk with you every single day of our life. That's why those opening scriptures are so important to us. Go with me to Romans chapter 10.
This is really cool. Dave wrote, me and Chad were talking about this exact thing earlier on our way home.
Come on, Dave.
Holy Spirit.
Come on, Dave. Dave and Chad rolling in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where were you coming home from, brother? I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
We got North Dakota here. We got Michigan here. We got Louisiana here. We got Ohio's here. Roger Oxy's here too. We got two Ohio's with us tonight. Look at that. Got Warren, Michigan with us, Lansing, Michigan with us, Shepherd, Michigan, Jackson, Michigan. Glory be to God. Wait, Port Sanilac is with us tonight.
From Freiburg? Where is that, Dave?
Freiburg. Freiburg is where they got the big frying pan. That was a good joke right there.
Is that Montana?
That's where they got the big grill, right? That's a good statement.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a big difference in the sky.
There you go. Romans 10. Now, let's do this. Let's read verse 4 down south in North Dakota. Now, that's a good statement. Where is it? Down south in North Dakota. Must be down by the border. Let's read, what, you ready?
Yeah.
Romans 10, 5 through 17. There's deep philosophical understanding here. And we thoroughly expect you to understand.
5 through what, 17?
Yeah.
All right, I'm switching to the easy to read version.
Okay, that's...
I like it a lot. Means I'm stupid, I'll be honest. So I like reading it in the easy way.
You know what's interesting tonight as you read this different translation? Huh. Everybody here that has been reading the New King James with us all this time.
They'll see it in English.
We're listening to you read the King James going, wow, look at the difference that's in there.
Yeah.
So that's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so now these people are going to hear what, you know, really English. Moses, all right, so 10:5, Moses writes about being made right by following the law. He says, the person who obeys these laws is the one who will have life through him. But this is what the scriptures say about being made right through faith. Don't say to yourselves, who will go up into heaven? This means who will go up into heaven to get Christ and bring him down to earth. And don't say, who will go down into the world below? This means who will go down to Christ and bring him up from death. This is what the scripture says. God's teaching is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. It is the teaching of faith that we tell people. If you openly say Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, we believe in Jesus deep in our hearts, so we are made right with God, and we openly say that we believe in him, so we are saved. Yes, the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disappointed. Go on, 10.
Through 17.
Oh, okay. It says this because there is no difference between those who are Jews and those who are not. The same Lord is the Lord of all people, and he richly blesses everyone who looks to him for help. Yes, everyone who trusts in the Lord will be saved. But therefore, people can pray to the Lord for help. They must believe in him. And before they can believe in him, the Lord, they must hear about him. And for anyone to hear about the Lord, someone must tell them. And before anyone can go to tell them, they must be sent. As the scriptures say, how wonderful is it to see someone coming to tell good news.
Yes.
But not all the people who accepted that good news, Isaiah said. But not all the people who accepted that good news. Isaiah said, Lord, who believed what we told them? So faith comes from hearing the good news, and people hear the good news when someone tells them about Christ. But
17.
Yep.
Yeah, you were good. Now, have you downloaded the modern King James Version, MKV?
I did all of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's another one that's real close to the New King James.
Did M?
MK.
Yep. I'll read in that one.
All right, that's cool. Now, let's look at what we just read. Go to verse 5. What I'm establishing tonight, again, it's like we're having another faith conference again that says, let's go back and grab the beginning. Why? Because if you don't know where you come from, you're not going to know who you are. And once you know who you are, Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, now you can begin to enjoy the things of God. Watch this. Verse number 6. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. What is the righteousness of faith? But that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You and I believe God, and we are made into righteousness. Now, in the Old Testament, it was just counted to him for righteousness. He still had to sacrifice animals. They still, you know, he still had to go through all the Old Testament stuff. But in the New Testament, you and I receive by faith because we see it and just receive it, and therefore we experience it. It's one of the most interesting doctrines of the word, because in the New Testament, we're all like, well, yeah, but what do I have to do to receive? No. In the New Testament, we don't do, we receive.
Believe.
We have to believe. 2 Corinthians, go with me real quick, but hold your position there. Don't surrender your position in Romans chapter 10. We got to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Watch this. For he, God, I'm going to put God in here, so it makes it understandable. For he, that's capitalized, God, made him, capitalized, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, or the sin sacrifice for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. What is it saying, Pastor? You and I get to become the righteousness.
He said 520?
521.
Oh, 21. Yeah. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin and to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
That's the modern King James?
Yep.
Yeah, see, that's really close here.
Yeah.
See, when you and I believe in God, we literally get to become the righteousness of God.
King James, in the original King James, plus it's just
I know. Now, I want you to see this fact. Abraham believed God and moved immediately, and it was counted to him for righteousness. All the way back before the law. So, there was nothing about Abraham that had to do with the law. It was just he believed God, and God said, then you'll be righteous because you believed in me. It'll be counted to you for righteousness. And yet, the law had come and show them all how bad they were. And you can read in Romans and Galatians about the law coming and being a schoolmaster and all of that. Tonight, I really want us to focus on this fact that because Abraham believed, there's nothing else in the book. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Guys, it is literally this simple, you might say. Well, but the Bible is not simple, Pastor. Well, I'm glad you asked me that question because it gives me the ability to go to my next verse we got to go to, and I appreciate you bringing it up. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to go up to verse 25 to 30. Matthew 11, 25 to 30, because if we don't see what Jesus says, we'll experience things that we don't need to experience. Like pain, like misery, like sorrow, like debt, like sickness, like disease. All that stuff's not of God. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Sickness is not abundant life. Disease is not abundant life. Poverty is not abundant life.
Amen.
Weakness is not abundant life. Failure is not abundant life. All of those words are words that come from the dark side, from the enemy perverting what God gave us. And it's all he can do is pervert what God has. That's all he can do. He's an angel that was created on the same day every other angel was created. Even though he was an archangel, he is just an angel. He's not a God. Even though people are worshiping him like a God, he's not a God. He's an angel. And that's why God could give Jesus the power and crush him and defeat him. Here we go. Matthew 11, 25 through 30.
Come to me, I will give you rest. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the sophisticated and cunning and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things are delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son will reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
What did Jesus say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, you don't even have to be a theologian to understand that verse. Now, you might need to have somebody who's educated in what a yoke is to tell you what a yoke is if you don't know. A yoke was a piece of equipment on the farm. It was an implement. They put the big ox in the left side and the little ox in the right side. The big ox was a puller and the little ox was a learner. As the ox learned how to pull into that yoke and pull that plow across the field and dig up the field and whatever else they used in their equipment to till up the field and make sure that they could be put seed in the ground. Jesus, look at what Jesus said. Verse 28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you an assignment and work you like a dog.
Nope, that's not what it says.
I'll give you rest.
I heard Andrew Womack say today, I grew up Baptist. That's what he said. I grew up a Baptist, and we had this statement that we made. Mary had a little lamb who may have grown up to be a sheep, but he became a Baptist and died for lack of sleep. Wait. Look at what it says. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden.
Heavy in sin.
Well, just labored down, just weighted down with the cares of this world.
Yeah.
And what is he saying? I will give you an assignment, and boy, you better figure it out or I'll beat you. You see, that's not what it says. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll put sickness and disease on you, because sooner or later, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Laden actually means a spiritual anxiety.
Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Yeah. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus is saying, I'm in the pulling yoke. You're in the learning yoke. The old ox had been pulling so long, he knew how to shoulder into that. That young ox, he's got his head in there and he's fighting it. He's fighting the big ox. You know, the big ox kicked him every now and then, like, get yourself in order, boy. And next thing you know, that younger ox got himself pulling in that yoke. But this is what Jesus is saying to you and me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let me teach you about me. Not religion, not religiosity. Let me teach you about me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and what's going to happen? You will find rest for your soul.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Roger, for the hundredfold, and Sister Sunday for raising us another hundred. I receive your 200-fold and raise you 100-fold.
Amen.
Love you guys. Now watch. Verse 30 is one of the most important verses of the New Testament. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I'd like to bring up the scripture that states we're not all far away from Jesus.
We are.
No, we're not.
We're a prayer and a belief,
yeah,
and an acceptance away. That's all we are. Amen, brother. That's a good word. You know the reference?
I don't know the exact scripture. That's what, like, I know the Bible, but I can't tell you where anything is yet.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's going.
It's going to take time.
You're getting it.
Even though I'm in the Word every day.
You're getting it.
But
there's no, like the man said in Africa, there's only one way to eat an elephant. One bite at a time.
Yep.
Now, you're going to be there for a couple of days eating an elephant. He had a big old dude.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't think you should eat him. I think you should just pet him and you know, keep him there. I mean, you know. Yeah. I know God said everything's all right to eat, but why eat an elephant? They're a pretty cool animal.
Beautiful.
Anyways, let's get off that subject before we get way down the road somewhere. See, what we got to see, guys, is God's already done all the work. Which of us could ever suffer the stripes that Jesus suffered? None of us could. See, not only did they put the stripes, there was many people in that day that the Romans beat with 39 stripes. There was many people because they knew that if they did one more, 40, it would kill a man. That means they had beat many men with 40 stripes and killed them. So they knew that one stripe less than 40, you would still be alive and you would be in a very miserable condition. But I got to tell you something about these stripes. Many men had received 39 stripes, but nobody had received the 39 stripes and all the weight of sin and sickness and disease and destruction and wickedness along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 53, I'm not going there. I'm just going to refer to it.
Yeah.
He was wounded for our transgressions.
Yeah,
he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for my peace. That means when you do wrong, you deserve a whipping. Chastisement. The chastisement for my peace is on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now watch this. Jesus took every bit of that so that you and I wouldn't have to take any bit of it. All we got to do is receive, and he freely gives us all things. Ready? Next verse.
I'll give you the
1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to go down here to verse number 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. Brother Michael's going to read. Here we go.
But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, that these things which God had prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For who among men knows the things of a man except the Spirit of man within him? So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit from God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But
in the mighty name of Jesus, you are free from that, and this is not coming back to you. Free in Jesus' name. Everybody say free in Jesus' name.
Free in Jesus' name.
Amen. 15.
But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no one, for he has known the mind of the Lord, but that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ.
Now look at verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I need to get like an amen from somebody, like maybe our Zoomers or somebody. Put your phone on and say amen or something. I seem to be missing. Amen. Thank you, Kathy.
Amen.
I has not seen, amen, Dave, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him. Most people stop. That is a period at the end of that sentence, but you can't stop there. Because if you stop there, you say, well, God's not going to show any of this to us. But when you begin the next verse, verse 10, it says, but God has revealed those things to us
by his Spirit.
By his Spirit. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit and are not saying, fill me, Holy Spirit, you're not going to see the things that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard. Because he said, how is it going to come to you? By the Spirit of God. Look at what verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. You and I are born again because we simply reach out and receive from God absolutely everything that he has for us for our lives. And this is one of the toughest battles that any of us are ever going to face, is just to say, I receive your love. All right. I receive your mercy. All right, I got it. I receive your grace. All right. I receive your help. But see, people are like, wait a minute, Pastor. Jesus takes the sick to teach us something. No, he don't. No. There's no verse in the Bible that says God made you sick to teach you something.
that would be of love.
I mean, it's like me saying, you know, Michael, you don't understand sanctification good enough, so I'm going to break your arm.
Yeah. What would that do for me?
What would that do? Or
make me hate you more.
Or if I'm a dad and I say, well, I told you to go out and rake the yard, but you didn't. Come here, I'm going to break your leg. Well, that don't make sense. I don't need to break his leg. I need him to use his two legs and go out in the yard and pick up the rake and let me show you how to do it. See, religion wants to make that doctrine sound holy. Well, you know, they get real holy when they say, well, you know, I suffered very good for the Lord. And I was very faithful in my suffering. And they get this weird religious voice when they start talking this stuff. Why? Because it's a religious spirit. It's not the Spirit of Christ. The Father laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. The Father laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. That is a very interesting statement that you and I have got to get ourselves into the point of seeing. Hold on just a second. I got to find this verse. I'm having trouble remembering my reference. Anybody know where it is? He laid on him. We'll get it.
I'm gonna speak a word to you about.
No, that did not get it. Somebody look that verse up, and I know where it is, and I'm just drawing a blank right now.
What verse?
It says, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we begin to get this revelation, all of a sudden you and I are going to say, wait a minute, I can now see who God is in my life and what he's doing in my life. You know, when all of a sudden, when we just go ahead and let Jesus bear all the sin and all the sickness and all the sorrow and all the pain and all the destruction, then all of a sudden we get to have a life of blessing. When we go back and read in Genesis chapter 12 about Abraham, as soon as Abraham went out, God blessed him abundantly. financially. His sheep, his cattle, his oxen, his camels, his servants, his household grew and grew and grew until Abraham had so many people in his household that he actually had a military in his own house of 318 men that were trained in battle. That is a big blessing from God. Now, let's keep looking at this. I'm trusting one of you are looking at verse. The Lord God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's probably Isaiah 53 somewhere. All right? Now, I'm going to go down while somebody's looking that up, and I'm going to read this one. Look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Say it. I've received the spirit of God.
I've received the spirit of God.
You have. You have. So have I. Now look at what it says happens when we do that. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What's been freely given? Mercy, grace, peace, love, redemption, reconciliation,
forgiveness,
justification. I think one of the greatest that we can ever say is reconciliation. What does that mean, Pastor? You are given because of Jesus' blood, you were given a right relationship with our Father again.
Well, firstly,
the Lord God laid on him the iniquity of us all.
I can't even think of what it is.
It's probably Isaiah 53.
I know. I have a feeling it's Leviticus.
Because we'll let that go. I want to keep going. It's verse 6. Opened it up and found it just like that.
Isaiah
53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what that means? That means it doesn't matter what you've done or who you've been. The Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And that's why it's ridiculous for people to say, well, God's causing me to suffer so I can prove how much suffering I can take for him. No, Jesus did all the suffering.
Everyone I've met in my life have always said, the reason why they hurt is because of God.
Teach him, Michael, it is not.
Why would a good God do a bad thing to one of his good children who's trying to serve him? He's not going to do it.
I've met many people who say, they can't be forgiven. And that's why their life is terrible. Crazy.
Yep. Because when you get taught religion and not reconciliation, then it makes it very difficult to receive reconciliation. Now, let's go back to our beginning scripture that we're trying to get accomplished tonight. All things are possible to them that believe. Now, let me pull up my notes here because I got to grab a verse.
Can you send me an invite to the stream?
Yeah.
I'm trying to send this to my friends because my grandma said to me this morning that the Holy Spirit we were talking to her and told me to invite all my friends to this question.
All right. Everybody pause just a second. We got to send Mike. I didn't send him an invitation earlier because he was sitting here.
I need to send it to other people.
Yeah, I know.
I need to send it to my friends that are killing themselves on drugs every day.
Yeah, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as we speak on a regular basis every day, reveal to them who you are in an infallible proof, Lord, so that they will know who you are and they'll be able to walk with you like Michael does in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's go to this verse here. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Let me get over there and see how many verses we add to it. I don't know if you got very many pages reserved tonight, but we could go for a couple hours here, but probably won't. Mark 9, and we're going to go down here to Isn't that something? 14 through 29. Here we go. Now watch. I'm going to set this up. Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, was transfigured in front of them. They're like, oh, Lord, let us build a temple for you and Elijah and Moses. And glory be to God. I'm sure glad we got to go up here on the mountain right now. But they came down from that mountain experience, and the disciples had a group of people around them, and they're trying to cast the demon out of a young boy. All right? And they're not getting it done. And this is the story that we come up to now. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14, and we're going to run down through verse number 29. 14, Mark 9, 14 through 29. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were amazed, greatly amazed, and running to him, Jesus, you notice that him is capitalized, and greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? These are the disciples. One of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Verse 19, he answered him and said, look at this statement, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here clean. Now remember, these are the disciples that have already gone out and cast out demons, heals the sick, raised the dead, preached in Jesus' name. So when Jesus goes up to the top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John, he figures no matter what these guys face, they got it because they've already been there once. Watch.
And then,
verse 20, Mark 9:20. Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he, the child, saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from his childhood. Are you done, Stendon?
Yeah.
All right. I'll have you read.
All right.
I'm in verse 22, Mark 9,
Mark
22.
Mark 9, 22.
We're going down to 29.
All right. And oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And seeing that a crowd running together, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, dumb and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter no more into him. But the spirit cried out, throwing him into convulsions and came out of him, and he was like one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he entering into a house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing except by prayer and fasting."
Now, we've been in this many times, but I want you to see that statement.
Yeah, there are some demons that you literally cannot just rebuke out because they're so powerful and have taken over the vessel in such an immense way that you have to fast because when we fast we hunger our bodies for the Lord to work on them faster.
Well, and what Jesus is really talking about is their unbelief.
Yeah,
because he said this kind of unbelief cannot come out by prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
And never in the Bible do you find a place where Jesus says, as long as you're hungry, you can cast this demon out.
No.
Because then you would have to see a demon, run home, not eat. But guess what? By the time you got done not eating, you'd have to go back and find the person and they would already be gone. So you got to have the ability at any moment's notice to cast that demon out. But what Jesus is teaching us is to live a life of belief and to stand in faith in him on a daily basis. Now watch what Jesus says to them.
To quote another scripture, and Jesus said to them, "Oh, why do you have so little faith?" I believe that in that story of the man with the unclean spirit that was blinded I believe in the end they all got their butts kicked because they had little faith and didn't believe that they could exercise that person.
Well, and those in the book of Acts, that was definitely the case. Now watch what Jesus said to this person. Jesus said, he rebuked the unclean spirit saying, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more."
Amen.
Now, in this situation, Jesus didn't say, go to the pit, go back to hell.
Yeah.
I cast you into the ocean. Go find a whale somewhere. Go into that person over there. No, he just said, come out and enter him no more. Now, I want you to see something with this person. This man said, if you can do, verse 22, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to that man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Remember what our first verse was? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. All things are possible to them that believe. Abraham was accepting righteousness 2,500 years before Jesus ever showed up. Abraham was receiving righteousness before the law ever showed up. Abraham was receiving righteousness simply because God told him what to do and he went and did it. Just simple obedience. And Jesus said to this man, all things are possible to them that believe. Hi, Mary. Good to have you with us tonight. Now watch this. Immediately, the father cried out to Jesus, "Lord, I believe. Help the unbelief that's in my life." I wouldn't claim unbelief if I were you. I wouldn't claim it. If it's there, call it out and command it to go. Mm-hmm. But don't claim it. I have unbelief. When you're talking to somebody, well, I would do that, but my unbelief. What are you claiming? You are claiming something to be yours that Jesus didn't give you, and Jesus paid a price to get rid of.
Amen.
My yoke is
easy,
and my burden will weigh you down and break your bones, because I want to teach you a lesson about who I really am. No, see, that doesn't work. You got to get out of that. And we got to get over into this fact that Jesus has already done absolutely everything that needs to be done. And he did it for you. and he did it in you, and he's doing it through you every single day of your life. Can I get an amen, hallelujah, or glory be to God out of anybody, anywhere?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And glory be to God.
Can I get a big amen?
Amen.
Big amen.
Amen. I was looking for Brother Roger on that one, a big amen.
Yeah. Mary, amen.
There amen, Mary. Hi, thank Mary. You, Mary. Pastor Rick, love you. Now, see, guys, I know I say this all the time. I know I do. But I'm going to tell you why I say it all the time. Because his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. And you and I, all we got to do is just keep saying, Lord, do it in my life. Do it in my life. Every single day, I say this at one point or another, in one way or another. I say this to the Father, in the name of Jesus, be as big in my life as you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Why? He's got designed in every one of us
a purpose.
Oh, my goodness. And a hope.
Yes, a purpose.
And a future. And a cause. And a mission. And an assignment to every one of us. And that assignment's going to cause us to get down there and in the faith, get in the Word of God and dig it out. But I got a word for you. We got to quit looking at this saying, if I can just do enough, God will answer my prayer. Well, that's just not how it is, because you didn't do enough to get saved. You received enough to get, and Jesus born you again. You know what I love about this group of believers?
We're getting
this. We're getting this. Another verse. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm fastly running out of time. So I'm going to go right to the heart of it here. I don't know if you know what the word fastly means or not.
Quick.
But it's like exceedingly quick. It's like with great
runner.
With great expedience. Now,
let me get back.
Hebrews chapter 4.
Hebrews chapter 4. So many books.
Hebrews chapter 4 is where God is talking about resting. He's not talking about sleeping. God didn't sleep when he got done with creation. He rested because he was finished. His work was done. Now, let's read Hebrews chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 and 2. Brother Michael is going to read again.
Therefore, a promise being left to enter into his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. For also we have had the gospel preached as well as them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it.
No, that's just 1 and 2. Thank you. Watch this. The word which they heard did not profit them. I'm just letting it settle in.
Mm-hmm.
The word which they heard preached did not profit them. Why? Because they did not mix that word with faith. And what is faith? Hebrews 11:6. You believe God exists, and you believe he rewards you when you diligently seek him. You know he exists. Everybody knows God exists. All you got to do is look out the window, man.
Yeah.
See the stars in the sky.
Even the atheists
believe that God exists, but they say that he doesn't because they can't see him. But even if you're atheist, you still have to say God exists because you believe in the upper power.
Gotcha.
And that's derived off of the principle of theism.
Yeah. So, think about it. This verse says that there is a rest that we have to get into. Somebody say it. Help me get into this rest, Jesus.
Yeah.
Help me get into this rest. Now, I want us to go now to the King James Version. And I want to read Hebrews chapter 4. I believe it's verse 11. And let's read that out of the King James Version.
Right.
Because they got the right word I need in there for this lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. 11.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall under the same example of unbelief.
Now think about it. He just said, labor to enter the rest. He said what? He said, work hard to rest. I declare in the name of Jesus, this has to go and it cannot be back. I command every bit of this.
Oh, man.
To be removed from our brother in Jesus' mighty name. You must obey the word of God. You must obey. Not you. I'm speaking to that spirit. You must obey the word of God. The system must not be here. Verse 11. Wait, I got to read it out of the King James. Let us labor to enter into rest. Well, Pastor, if I'm going to rest, why don't I just kick my shoes off and lay down on the couch? Well, yeah, there's some work in that. But I want you to see what God is saying to us. To just simply rest in him and receive what he's done sometimes takes some work. Well, wait, why? Because your body, your mind, your humanness says, yeah, but I got to do something.
Yeah.
I can't just receive something.
Yeah.
And God's up in heaven saying, no, how about I've done it and you receive what I've already done?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took all of the beating. You don't have to take it. Jesus took all of the sin. You don't have to bear it.
Yeah.
Jesus did it in righteousness and gave you and I all of his righteousness. And now all our deal is we have an assignment in God. We have an assignment in God to be found faithfully walking with God and walking in God every single day. Every one of us. Every one of us. Now, the in verse 11, in the King James, it says, let us labor. In the New King James, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest. It's going to take diligence. Why? Because life will say, it's got to be tougher than this. And God's in heaven saying, I already did it. Let me ask you a question. How much of creation did Adam and Eve help God do?
None.
Zero. Adam and Eve showed up to an earth and a world that was already created.
And God gave Adam the breath of the spirit.
He gave him the
that
breath.
That which was the breath of life.
Choose the breath of life. And when he did it, Adam had all of the understanding to name everything that was on the earth. Because Adam's the one that gave him a name.
Well, the only job he had to do was to tend the Garden of Eden.
You and I are under that same mandate that Adam is. That was never rescinded by God. What is it? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue this earth. Take dominion over all the earth. not dominate people, take dominion over all the earth. There are places on this earth where men of God and men of great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word have built amazing communities of great strength. I think of Brother David Ayido over there in South Africa or Nigeria, wherever he's at. I don't remember where he is. I'll get that next time. But it literally started out with whatever it was, 100 acres. And today, there's a 15,000-acre city that has been built from his church. Everyone in the city that has a business is a member of the church in good standing. It is one of the most righteous places you can ever go on the earth. Why? Because everyone in that city is born again, spirit-filled, tither, giver. They serve God. They love each other. And what are they doing? They are truly bringing this, his kingdom, to this earth as it is in heaven. And that's one of the verses that God gave to Brother David Oyedepo when he first saw the vision. Is thy kingdom come to this earth as it is in heaven?
Do you know Man in the Footprint?
Say again?
Do you know the movie The Man in the Footprint?
Yeah, Dave Wilson, yeah.
My friend goes to the church in New York.
Is that right?
And his name is David.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's quite a story. If you've not read it, The Cross and the Switchblade is a powerful story.
Very filled.
And make your hair stand on end.
Oh, yeah.
What went on there. Now, say it with me. I am entering into rest.
I am entering into rest.
You want to say it? All things are possible to me.
All things are possible to me.
Because I believe.
Because I believe.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Can I get a big amen out of anybody? A big amen. Amen. Brother Roger, kid it, man. Come on. I love it, man. That's awesome.
I love the
majestic word.
Amen! That was Brother Michael giving us a big amen. All right. Now, you and I continually give ourselves to the doctrines of faith. Hey, amen, Dave. Mary, come on. You guys are hitting it. I love it. Sister Sunday. And anybody else that's there that's doing it, I don't know. I'm seeing everybody I can see. Let's grab one more verse to seal this all together, and we'll be done. Well, we won't be done.
Well, we have to do communion.
And we'll receive communion. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1.
That's a great book.
2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses number 2, 3, and 4. 2 Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hey, read it out of the King James.
Yeah.
So we can compare what we got in our versions.
Chapter 1?
2 Peter 1, 2, 3, verses 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
No, 1 through 4.
Wait, 2 Peter 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Yep.
Okay. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Confirming your calling and election, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But
I want you to see verse 1, by the righteousness of God we receive it. Verse 2, grace and peace is multiplied. Verse 3, his divine power has given us all things, given to us all things.
Life and godliness.
That pertain to life. That's this computer. That's this glass. That's my communion cup. That's my Bible. That's my pen. That's my shirt and my next haircut. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and pertain to godliness. That means your faith, your hope, your love, your peace, your power, your strength. And look at what he said. He has given these to us. Now, verse 4, by which has been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, he's given it to us. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Now, I love this verse, that through these great promises, look what you get to receive. You may become partakers of the divine nature. You're not going to become God. You're just a partaker of his divine nature. And
what could be more glorious than that?
What could be more glorious than that? In Jesus' mighty name. What's our responsibility? Is that we labor to enter into the rest so we can receive everything that he's done.
Most importantly, we spread the seed of God.
Unto
our generation.
We don't study the word so we can make God move. We study the word so we can see how he's moving. We don't study the word as, I can quote 15 verses, now do it. We study the word to say, oh, wow, you're already doing it. I receive it. And we appropriate the grace of God into our lives.
So we can have a bigger relationship with him.
Oh, yes. So we can have a bigger relationship with
him.
So we can have a greater understanding. So we can have greater peace. So we can have greater victory. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your wonderful Holy Spirit in our lives right now. Thank you, Lord. You said that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy.
All principalities.
And we declare right now in the mighty name of Jesus, every prayer we have prayed in this gathering of believers, every prayer that we have prayed for any of our brothers and sisters, those prayers are working right now. We've never rescinded one of them. We stand in faith and victory that every family member of every one of us is touched by your awesome, mighty power. Every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Every person here tonight within the sound of my voice, and for everyone who will ever listen to one of our videos and study and be trained, their life will be transformed forever and ever.
Amen.
By your word, Lord. Amen. By the word of God, which is able to make them stand. Receive our praise and our thanksgiving for what you've done for our lives. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you. It says in the book of Revelation, you alone are worthy of all of the glory. You alone are worthy of all of the honor. You alone are worthy of all of the praise. We speak this now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Let's receive our communion elements. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I wait, pause. I'm learning to slow down. It's taken me a while, just 2 years. Now, for those of you that are new, I'm going to hold my elements up, but we're not going to receive them yet. How we do it here is I read the verses, we pray the prayer of salvation so we know that everybody that's with us is in right standing with God. Then we bless the elements and we receive them together. just so you know the process that's getting ready to happen. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:23-28 and verse 31 is where Jesus came to the Apostle Paul in the wilderness and taught Paul himself about the communion. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Do you notice Jesus said often? That doesn't mean seldom. Jesus said often. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That's the process. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. I love these verses. Look at what it says. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. I like having boldness when somebody's judging me, especially when it's the bully and he's the enemy. Yeah, you can't judge me. I'm a man of God. I'm a child of God. Amen? Why can we have boldness? Because as he is the head, so are we the body in this earth. I love it. I love it. I love it. Verse 18, perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love, and there should be no fear in the communion elements in Jesus' mighty name. Now, verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 11 says, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It says that. But I know this about you. If you're going to be here tonight and take this communion, that verse ain't going to be any of you. I'm not going to teach that verse to people that have already been born again and walking with God. I will say this. If you're here tonight to mock God, I wouldn't do that. You're going to drink damnation to yourself. Don't do that. But if you're here saying, God, I want you, judge yourself and say, I need you. That's as much judgment as you need to do. It's, Lord, I need you. And you're going to be ready to receive these elements. Pray this prayer of salvation with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for that.
And I thank you for that.
Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I believe.
You are the Son of God.
You are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day.
And you rose again on the third day.
For my life.
For my life.
Now put your hands out and just do it. I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right
now. In the name of Jesus. All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your grace.
All of your righteousness.
All of your righteousness.
Completely free.
Completely free.
From any effect of the enemy.
From any effect of the enemy.
I have been made whole.
I have been made whole.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
And understand the word of God.
And understand the word of God.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 And amen.
And amen.
And amen. Now.
Great amen.
And the great amen. Thank you, Roger. Love you. And watch this. No matter who you are tonight, if you just prayed that prayer, you are right with God. Listen, you didn't get a church. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get a religion. You have been made one with the Father. You have been reconciled to your Father, who is the one that put you in your mama's womb and gave you a plan.
By only going off the Bible word.
Say again?
By only going off the Bible word and not a denomination.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on, brother. Preach. Well, no, wait. We got to finish communion, then you can preach. But see, this is what we want you to get. Jesus just came into you. The author and finisher of your faith just came in. Jesus, the light of the world, just came in. Jesus and all of his righteousness just came in. And when he fills you with righteousness, sin no longer has any effect on you. Now, you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm bound. According to your faith, so it will bind you. Jesus just filled you with all of his righteousness. That's why on the inside you can feel that amazing, I don't know what you call it. It's not a feeling, though. It's an experience. You experience that transformative power.
He who thinks something is unclean will be unclean, and who thinks that he is clean will be clean.
Amen. Amen. Now watch. You and I have just helped you transform your life forever. From this day forward, your responsibility is to walk with God. Everybody pray this simple prayer. Help me walk with you, Lord.
Lord, help me walk with you
every single day.
Every single day.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Do you realize that that's the greatest prayer you've got to pray between now and when Jesus comes? Why? Because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You will walk with God if you pray that prayer every day. I tell you my story about ministering to the Vietnam vet over and over, and I'm not going to tell it tonight.
It's an insane testimony.
I encourage you to go back and find that video. You only got about 600 of them to go through, and you'll be able to find the story. But by the time you listen to all those sermons and messages, you'll be one solid, amazing Christian. Anyway. So the greatest thing we're going to do is walk with God. And Jesus just made you right with the Father by his blood. I'm preaching, and I got to get to taking communion. They put my email address and website in here so you can contact me, and I will help you walk with God. All of these people. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm a woman. The ladies here will help you walk with God. If you're a man, the men here will help you walk with God.
I'll give you my phone number so I'll put it in too.
And we will cause you to continually see God and his ways in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready?
Yep.
Hold up our elements. We'll bless them and we'll receive them together. This process of blessing them is you and I sanctifying them from whatever else is in this house. This came out of a Cheez-It bag. Now, all of those are not sanctified, yeah. But by our word and our confession, we're going to sanctify this element.
And God accepts what we sanctify.
And amen. Here we go. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify.
I bless and sanctify.
These elements.
These elements.
For this time of communion.
This time of communion.
With you, Lord.
With you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace,
is
upon you, Lord.
Upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes,
and by your stripes,
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, and in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
My mind, and my will, and in my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
No force of the enemy in my life.
No force of the enemy in my life.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive his broken body together.
It's just amazing. It just feels like a whole lightness just enters my body. True divinity.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for all you did.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of your Son.
Every sin.
Every sin
has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
Forever.
Forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it, Lord.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
I come boldly.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace. Mercy and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
The word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over my life.
Has to pass over my life.
And cannot be on me or my family.
It cannot be on me or my family.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any blemish.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 And amen. Let's receive the juice together. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I like my communion cup. I say it regularly. This is out of Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins be as scarlet. See how red that is? Scarlet.
Scarlet.
They shall be as white as snow
when
you add the blood of Jesus. That's why I like this cup.
These are tiny red solo cups.
These are tiny red solo cups. And I really appreciate Solo making them just for my communion service. And I really appreciate them putting them in convenience stores all over the nation.
For all those cups.
Because I appreciate being able to lead people into communion in Jesus' name. Let's sing a song. Let's sing Oh How I Love Jesus.
Oh how I love Jesus. Oh how I love Jesus. Oh because you first loved me.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And amen. I did notice that, Dave. Come on, man. Amen. Again. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the peace of God which passes all understanding that rules our hearts and our minds in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Another one.
You want to sing?
Yeah, I don't know. Two things. I don't know Heinz are really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's sing.
Sing a loud one. Let's sing a loud one.
Let's sing Amazing Grace. You want to sing that?
Yeah.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Wait, I was going to sing that next one. Hold on, just give me a second. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. I love these songs. Amen. You have to just sit down there, Kitty. Keep snagging me with a claw like, glory. You thought I was jumping because I was blessed. I was jumping because the cat got me. Now, it is that time. Brother Dave, so good to see you.
Yes, it is.
Did you have warm weather today, Dave? Please tell me yes. We're about to be on our way home here, and we truly trust that you'll have all the snow moved out before we get there. Amen, 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 amen. Well, now, thank you for being here. Not bad at all. It's nice now. Hey, that's cool. Yeah. This is one of those years that seems like the snow is staying forever, doesn't it?
Oh, man. That's probably the worst year for
We're diligently trying to get back between snowstorms so we don't have to drive across North Dakota in another blizzard, but not like we haven't done it before, so. And it's not like we won't ever do it again either. But it just won't be for the rest of the summer, okay? And Band Day is going to happen in North Dakota, and we're not going to have freezing rain and snow this year. It's going to be beautiful, and 65 degrees and a light breeze.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Last year it was snowing,
man. And then people were marching and playing their instruments in the Band Day parade. Woo! All right, here we go. We got to run. We'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow at noon for prayer, and then see you tomorrow night. We'll be right back here again. And our theme this week is All Things Are Possible That Believe.
And we believe.
Somebody just shouted with me, and I believe.
And I believe.
I know you do, brother. I know you do. I know you do. All things are possible to them that believe. Brother Dan, Brother Roger. God bless you guys. Sister Mary Pasarek, Sister Sunday Geyser, Phyllis K. Raymond's with us. Brother Ken Brumbaugh's with us. Charlie Allen's with us. Amen. Who else? Phyllis K. Raymond's with us. Love you, Phyllis. I really got to call you on the phone, Phyllis. Rebecca Smith is with us. Michael Carr was with us. Kathy Marie Angaroni was with us. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen.
Bless all.
Francetta Goss was with us. Isn't that something?
Good night.
All of us that were over on YouTube with us, thank you for being with us. Share this with anybody you want. All of you on Blog Talk Radio around the world, wherever you go, we love you. We appreciate you being here. We want to know who you are. Tell us your name. We'll pray for you by name. Every one of you that lets us know your name, we will pray for you by name. We truly do. And our prayer is that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, abundantly blessed in every area, spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotion, marriage, money, mouth, and ministry. He blesses you, and he adds no sorrow with it.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, Roger.
God's blessing on you all.
I receive
God's
it.
God's blessing on you, Roger. Yes,
God
we
bless
receive
you,
it.
Wait, do it again.
God's blessing on you all.
I got all those, too. Did you get them? I got them. I harvested. Say that. I missed it. I was talking.
May he watch over you and keep you safe in your travels.
Amen.
Thank you, Roger.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm glad Dave believes, Sister Mary Pasterick believes. God bless you, Don and Mary. Amen. Brother Chad, Brother Dave, bless you guys. Bless the world. Bless God bless everybody.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go. Remember this. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'll have Sister Phyllis K. Raymond on my case.
Yeah, bust the sleep.
Oh, I got to say the doxology. You can't close the program without the doxology. Oh, I already did. Somebody pray for me.
Oh, yes, you did.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Not just joy, exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
See you soon.